Let's read together from the Word of God tonight in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Reading together from this portion of God's Word. The Gospel of Matthew 24 and the verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Ending our reading at verse 14, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the end of the age. You'll find the basis of the message in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And as we look around us today, we are conscious of the swiftness of time. That time is swiftly passing by. It's hard to believe that we just seemingly a very short day or two ago entered a new year. And now we are already virtually in the middle of February. The swiftness of time, the shortness of life. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And when we look at Scripture, we look at the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And then we look at the book of the Revelation and we consider the end time. The end of the age. The end of all things is at hand. The Bible reminds us. The end of the age. When time shall be no more. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again. When you look at the words of Scripture, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible tells us in the words of John 14 and 3, the words of Jesus himself, I will come again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And then the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10.
Do you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, the Bible speaks of that day when Jesus Christ shall return. It speaks of it in terms such as these, the great and terrible day of the Lord. It is a great day for all who are saved, but it is a terrible day for all who are not saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in this great discourse here, called the Olivet Discourse, in Matthew chapter 25, he spoke of the end time. He spoke unmistakably and clearly about the end of the age, about his coming again. And as we look out on this world tonight, we look at world events, we must surely look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. As James teaches us in his epistle, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. These words before us here in this discourse of our Lord Jesus Christ are vitally important words. Words of an impact upon our hearts at this very moment in this service, at this very time in this world's history, as we consider the end of the age. For it is true to say tonight that we are nearer the end than ever we have been before. But the question to your heart is this: are you ready for the day of his appearing? Or will that day find you unready? Will that day find you unprepared? When the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven, and when his feet shall again stand upon the Mount of Olives. There are some things that I want to underline to you from this portion tonight. First of all, there is the perplexity concerning the end. You look at verse 3 here in this portion, Matthew 24. As Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming of the end of the world?" The disciples then were perplexed concerning these things, concerning the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the end of the world. And they wanted to know. They sought to have understanding of these events. They said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming? When shall these things be?" Is there in your heart tonight perplexity? You don't understand all of this talk about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. It perplexes you. The conversation about the end of the world means nothing to you tonight. You're in darkness about these things. Of course, the Word of God teaches us concerning the darkness of the hearts of men. Those who do not understand the things of God, the Bible says, these things are spiritually discerned. And so tonight you need spiritual discernment. You need an enlightened understanding tonight. You need the darkness to be dispelled and the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine into your heart this evening, so that you will see clearly these things. You say tonight, when is Jesus Christ coming back again? What are the signs that we should be looking for in relation to the end of the age? And as far as these things are concerned, well, we have heard all the idle speculation of men. We have heard all the foolish conjecture and talk about certain dates. And all of that, we are not getting into that sensationalism tonight. We're not going down the road of that foolish man in Florida who, on a couple of occasions, has predicted that the world is going to end on a such and such a date. We're not going down that route tonight. The Lord Jesus warned his disciples here not to be deceived. Verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by men. Many there were in Jesus' day who were out to deceive. Many there are in today's world who are out to deceive. And deception is widespread, and deceivers are many. Notice not only the many deceivers, but also the manner of their deception. In verse 5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They will declare themselves to be Christ. They shall deceive many. And people will think, well, these people are to be followed. These people are to be listened to. Their message is worth considering. But of course, all of this is deception. They deceive many. All of this just increases the perplexity of man. Are you perplexed about these things tonight? But none of these things give the clarity that man needs or that man seeks for. Their perplexity concerning the end. But then I want you to notice here in this portion of Scripture the progress toward the end. In verses 6 to 12, just citing some examples here. You'll notice verse 6, it says, the end is not yet. Wars and rumors of wars. But the end is not yet, it says. Nation shall rise against nation, verse 7. Kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. The beginning of sorrow. The end is not yet. A time of great trouble. And we've had a whole series of world events down through the centuries and decades of time. And even now we hear of these things that are taking place. The conflict in Syria, for example. The unrest in Egypt. The Arab Spring. The simmering situation in Israel and Gaza. The nuclear capacity in North Korea and Iran, the ongoing conflict in Afghanistan, etc., etc. So we could go on. But we are not to be troubled by such events, for all these things, the Bible says, must come to pass, but the end is not yet, and people are disquieted. And the world is distressed. And people are dissatisfied. These things are coming to pass before our very eyes. The Scripture prophecies are being fulfilled. The great jigsaw puzzle, as it were, of Scripture prophecy is all being fitted into place. Not according to our surmisings, but according to what the Bible teaches concerning these things. There is daily turmoil and trouble. There are uprisings and overthrow of governments. Verse 7, times of great trial brought about through famines and pestilences. Look at this world tonight, stricken by famine, great areas of it. Children are dying for want of food. The masses are starving across this planet. It is staggering to look at the statistics.
While we are full and plenty, and you've probably thrown out more in your bin this week that would have fed a family. The trauma brought about through earthquakes. The Bible speaks here of earthquakes in diverse places. And across the world, there continues to be earthquakes. And the utter devastation that is caused by these. And years beyond the actual time of these earthquakes taking place, people are still suffering the awful consequences of such disasters. But the Bible says, look at verse 8, these are the beginning of sorrows. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. It's only the start of what yet has to take place. There will be much more than this. The sorrows will intensify as we move closer to the end of the age. There'll be a time of great persecution. Look at verse 9. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Imprisonment and death for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many today are suffering such awful persecution and death for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only times of death, but times also of desertion. There will be those who will desert the gospel, verse 10. Many shall be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. The Bible tells us of those suffering times will be shaking times. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible teaches us there. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, and listen to the words of Scripture and what it says. 1 John 2 and 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. People who are offended. People who betray the gospel. People who desert the cause of Christ. Suffering times are shaking times. And those who fall in the storm, who stood in the fair weather, are like the stony ground hearers mentioned in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2. There's no depth. There's no reality to their Christianity. And by they are offended, the Bible says. And those who have treacherously deserted their religion shall hate and betray those who adhere to it, for whom they have pretended to be their friends in the past. These times are perilous times when treachery and hatred, two of the worst things, will be manifested. Verse 11 speaks of false prophets. They shall deceive many. And this is a time when false prophets are all around us in this world of ours. People who turn on the God channels are taken up with the false prophets on many occasions. I'm not saying all of those on the God channels are false prophets, but there are many who are among them. Taken up with these things. Following after the false prophets. Deceived by them. The Bible tells us in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's a coldness abroad tonight in a time of abounding iniquity. And many of God's people have grown cold, and perhaps you're here tonight and your heart is as cold as ice. And you're not walking with God as you formerly walked because you say iniquity is abounding and all these things are happening in the world, which is true, of course. But your closeness to God is not what it ought to be, and your communion with God is not nearly what it should be. And the love of many has waxed cold in the church tonight. And many are growing cold in a world that is ice cold as far as truth and purity is concerned. Is your heart cold tonight? Is this church cold in the facing tide of iniquity that swells up in this world of ours? But words of comfort in the midst of all of this corruption. In the midst of all this consternation and this coldness that is in this world tonight, there's a remnant that still remain true to Christ. There are those that remain true to the end, but he, verse 13 says, that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Will you be among those that endure? Will you be amongst those that are steadfast to the end, that remain true to Christ? Those whom the Lord will save. I earnestly pray you will. The progress toward the end. But then I want you to see here also in verse 14, the proclamation to do with the end, because it says in verse 14, then shall the end come. It says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel will be preached and then shall the end come. It is called the gospel of the kingdom because it reveals the gospel of grace which leads to the kingdom of glory. It sets up his kingdom in this world. It secures ours in the other world. And the gospel, sooner or later, my friends, will be preached in all this world. To every creature and all nations are to be discipled by it, for in it Christ is to be salvation to the ends of the earth, the Bible teaches us. The chief thought here is that the end of the world will be then and only then, when this gospel has done its work in the world and all of God's people have been called unto Christ. The end will come then when God has done his saving work and drawn every soul that is to come into Christ from across this world. That's what the Bible teaches, friend. Then shall the end come. And then I want you to notice verse 15 here. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Some understand by this abomination of desolation an image or a statue set up in the temple by some of the Roman governors, which was very offensive to the Jews, provoked them to rebel, and so brought a desolation upon them. Others choose to expound it by the parallel portion in Luke 21 and verse 20. Where if you read that verse there in Luke 21 and verse 20, you will see what it says. The word of God says there, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Jerusalem compassed with armies. The land of an enemy is said to be the land which thou abhorrest. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 16. And so an enemy's army to a weak and willful people may be called the abomination. Now this was said to be spoken of by the prophet Daniel, the prophet who spoke more plainly of the Messiah and his kingdom than any of the other Old Testament prophets did. He speaks of an abomination making desolate in Daniel 11:31 and Daniel 12:11. Seek to understand by the reading of this prophecy. Seek to understand, my friend. A day of the abomination of desolation. And then I want you to see it's a day of sudden destruction. Look at verses 16 to 20 here in Matthew 24, going back to this portion. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. No time for delay, my friend. When death is at the door, delays are dangerous. It was so for Lot. You remember Genesis chapter 19, look not behind thee.
He was not to look behind him. He was to get out, and quickly. The carrying of clothes and other movables and valuables with him would burden him, would hinder his flight from the city of destruction. The Syrians in their flight were to cast away their garments in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 15. There's no time for delay, my friend. There's no time for delay. You need at this moment to make haste to Christ. The only refuge for your soul at the end of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look not behind you tonight, but rather move swiftly, lest sudden destruction come upon you and the judgment of God fall upon you, friend. A proclamation to do with the end. And then I want you to see finally tonight the preparation required for the end. You go to verse 44 of this portion. We could spend much more time in it tonight, but time has beaten us. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We need to be ready when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Are you ready, friend? Have you made the necessary preparation tonight? Notice the problem that man has in verse 36 of the portion there. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let's not get into idle speculation about when it's going to be, because we don't know. The Bible tells us that. We don't know. He doesn't know, man doesn't know when Christ is going to come to return to this earth. He's in the dark about it. But my friend, I tell you this, the Bible does tell us it is. It will be a surprising and separating day. It will be a surprising day as the deluge was to the old world in the days of Noah. Verses 37 to 39. Look at those words. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were giving themselves to sin. They were giving themselves to the pleasures of this world. They were deceived and deluded as to these things. It didn't dawn on them what was going to happen. My friend, the eternal judgment, so is the judgment of the great day, is called in Hebrews 6 and 2. Though notice has been given of it, even from Enoch's time, it will be unlooked for by most of men. In fact, the latter days, and I believe we're in those days, will produce scoffers that say, according to Peter, where is the promise of his coming? And people are saying that today. All this talk about Christ coming again. Where's the promise of it? And thus shall be when the world shall be destroyed by fire. Thus it was when the old world, being overflowed with water, perished. They were sensual, they were worldly in that day. Verse 38 tells us. They were given over to the pleasures of the world. No thought about their soul. No thought about eternity. No thought about God. They knew not, the Bible says, verse 39. That is, they believed not. They were unbelieving. No thought of impending judgment. No thought of God coming and putting his hand upon them. Just like people today. A surprising day. And my friend, also a separating day. Look at verses 40 and 41. Shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Those doing the same job in the field separated forever at the coming of Christ. Women doing the same job at the mill separated at the coming of Christ. What a time of separation, a time of great division. A day when he shall come suddenly as a thief in the night. Verse 43. The believer in Christ must be awakened and must be watchful. The thought is, we're not only to believe that our Lord will come, but we're to desire that he should come. We're to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And surely that would be our desire, every Christian in this meeting. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You're not looking for his coming, friend. You're not looking towards that day, anticipating it. Every believer in Christ ought to be anticipating the day when Jesus Christ shall come back again. What preparation have you made for his coming, my friend? What if his coming should find you unprepared tonight? That would be a fearful day for you. You need to make preparation tonight. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from it and the folly of your sin. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. You need to turn while the Savior in mercy is calling and steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Prepare now. Don't leave it too late. I was reading the story of an old king of bygone days, his clown or jester used to come in and, of course, play the clown in front of him. And one day, of course, the king, handing him his staff, said to him, "Take this and keep it until you find a bigger fool than yourself." And so he traveled the world, the jester. And some years later, the king was very ill and lay on his deathbed, and his courtiers were called, and his family was called, and of course his servants were called around his bedside. And the king, addressing them, said, "I'm soon to leave you. I'm going on a very long journey, and I shall not return to this place, and I've called you all to say goodbye." And the jester came forward, addressing the king, said, "Your Majesty, I have to ask you a question. When you have journeyed abroad, visiting your people and staying with your various diplomatic people in other worlds, you've always sent your heralds and your servants have gone before to make preparations for you. May I ask what preparations, Your Majesty, have you made for this long journey you're about to make?" "Alas," replied the king, "I've made no such preparation." Then said the jester, "Take this staff, for I have now found a bigger fool than myself." My friend, you're about to set out on the greatest journey, the longest journey in time into eternity. And if you're not prepared, friend, for that journey, then you're a big fool tonight. The Bible says, "Be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The end of the age, my friend, is coming. This old world is going to be burned up, dissolved. How's it going to be with you, friend? The end of life's journey. Oh, I pray that you will come to Christ. I pray that you'll be saved. You'll trust him tonight before it's too late. Let us pray. Father, we pray that thou wilt write thy word upon hearts tonight. And for those, oh God, that will come to the Savior as a result of this meeting, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.